Oh, I'm here. I was just looking at seconds ticking off on counters. You can get mesmerized in radio stations. Radio studios are basically incredibly boring places to be visually, because everything's happening in your ear. You should pardon the expression. But one thing you can do is, there's so many devices now that have little digital readouts of time passing. You can really get hung up on those. You can just sit there and, oh, now look, it's clicking to 42, 43. And there your life goes. But I think that's the point. Ladies and gentlemen, more time, more ink, more space being spent on the Mark Rich pardon today in the New York Times. Bill Clinton takes to the op-ed page following in his defense blitz, following up his phone call to Geraldo Rivera and his cable talk show Thursday night. By the way, the ratings for cable news, cable shows and cable talk shows just going through the floor. Chris Matthews' Hardball, which everybody talks about as if it's a big hit on cable news, 500,000 viewers. I got more listeners than that during pledge drive. You know what I'm saying? 500,000 people watch Hardball, and most of them are Chris's relatives. Anyway, Bill Clinton went on Geraldo, called him up. Excuse me, Rivera Live. Geraldo was the discredited daytime show. Rivera Live is the program of record for anything that Geraldo wants to talk about. And then today in the New York Times op-ed page, Bill Clinton surfaces again to defend himself, wrote an op-ed piece himself about why he gave Mark Rich, fugitive financier — it's so much fun to say that phrase — fugitive financier Mark Rich a pardon. And basically it boils down to something. Again, we can fiddle with the details, or we can maybe take a lesson. As I observed in vain during the time of Monica Mania, the most chilling remarks about Monica Mania came from about especially the tactics of special prosecutor, then independent counsel Kenneth Starr, came from Joe DiGenova, a Republican attorney and part of the crew that used to show up on cable news when people watched it to attack Bill Clinton, who said Ken Starr is not doing anything that every prosecutor in this country doesn't do every day. Which to me said, well, let's look at that then. Now, ironically enough, the same Joe DiGenova, still a Republican, is the lawyer representing Jack Quinn, the lawyer for Mark Rich. You follow that? Anyway, Bill Clinton says that one of the reasons he gave the pardon was because Mark Rich was charged overly broadly under the RICO statutes. The RICO statute is racketeer-influenced crime organization statute, which basically was written to allow the feds to go after the mafia, because they're so tough to catch, especially since the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover spent 30 years denying they existed. That made them very tough to catch. Anyway, the RICO statute has been used mainly not against the mafia or organized crime, but was used against Mark Rich for running these deals that basically were designed to let oil companies escape or avoid or finesse certain tax liabilities that they may or may not have had. And the president says, you know, since the oil companies that Mark Rich toiled for weren't brought up on criminal charges, he thought it was unfair that Mark Rich should be dealt with in a civil fashion instead. But of course, Bill Clinton knows a little something about prosecutorial zeal at this point in time. And maybe, you know, if there were journalists in this country, we'd look into the possibly overbroad use of the RICO statute, especially since the Justice Department doesn't use it for that purpose anymore. But no, we'd rather wallow in this stuff. And there's plenty more of it to wallow in, but it just goes to show you that, you know, if a dog's got his teeth into a particularly tasty pant leg, the fact that you take off the trousers is not necessarily going to convince the dog to let go. But more about that in a moment on Hello, Welcome to the Show.
dirt here. So I'm sitting at a bar in Guadalajara. In walks a guy with a faraway look in his eyes. He said, I've got a powerful horse outside. Climb on the back, I'll take you for a ride. I know a little place we can get there for the break of day. I said, in these shoes, no way, Jose. I said, honey, let's stay right here.
Snake head eating the head on the riding drunk.
Madam, I'm Adam. No, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to another edition of Hello, Welcome to the Show. Singer Leanne Rimes. Isn't it great to have a singer named Rimes? There's a couple. There's a rapper, but we think he changed his name. This is just happy, wonderful life. Singer Leanne Rimes has purchased a home in the hills of West L.A. to make life even better for just less than $2 million. Built in the 1950s and remodeled recently. No, not the singer, the home. It's on slightly more than an acre and has a three-bedroom, 3,400-square-foot main house plus a 1,500-square-foot guest house, or, as they say in German, Gasthaus. The compound also has a wine cellar, or as they say in German, Weinkeller, a pool, a spa, and canyon views, a long gated drive leads to the home. Rimes, 18, bought the house just before the holidays. 18. Why is it only in the paper now, then? This is interesting. This is in the real estate section of the paper, in this thing about Rimes buying the house. Here's the next paragraph. Dig this. Earlier this month, she posted a notice on her website, and they give the name of the website, apologizing to fans for her new album. Rimes insists the album was made without her creative input and consists largely of unfinished material and songs that didn't make other albums. Rimes records for Mike Curb. Does that name ring a bell? It almost makes me believe her website. Jazz music. Apparently, a lot of musicians, realtors, went tattling this week. Jazz musician Wayne Shorter and his wife have listed their Laurel Canyon home at about $700,000. They plan to move to the East Coast. Ooh, then there's very unpleasant stuff. I'm not going to read to you, but also finds its way into the real estate column. Ugh. Built in 1963, the Monterey Colonial-style house has four bedrooms and 3,000 square feet. And the drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers has purchased Hollywood Hills home for about $1.9 million. It has five bedrooms, a media room, and a den, gardens, patios, and a pool. Interesting. No? All right, how about some non-musicians? Ben Affleck wants to sell his Hollywood Hills home at about $2.3 million. He's selling because he's planning to spend more time in New York. You see a trend? Maybe this is what the theme of the column is. I always try to find the theme of the real estate column, because if you can do that, you can decode all the rest of life. He wants more privacy at his L.A. home, too, as well as wanting to spend more time in New York. The 7,500-square-foot house is large for its price, but is not set back much from the street. The five-bedroom, three-story house has been described as huge, but very vertical. So it's built on the Shaquille O'Neal plan. The living room is a floor up from the ground level. The kitchen and dining room are a floor up from the living room. He's just tired. He doesn't have the legs for that house. The living room has a professional movie viewing theater for professional movie viewing. You amateur movie viewers, don't even bid, because this is not for you. This is for professional movie viewers, okay? And built-in entertainment center for your built-in entertainment needs. The master suite has a library, spa, and sauna. The kitchen was described for catering large gatherings of apparent professional movie viewers. Marcus Allen has sold his Montecito home to Troy Aikman, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, for about $6.5 million. Marcus, of course, works as a football analyst for CBS, so he sold his home to a guy he'll be commenting about. That would maybe make him eligible to be a commentator in the XFL. The home Allen sold traded hands earlier this year. This is a newspaper. It's supposed to be on top of it earlier this year. What's going on? Allen has owned the property for about 5 years. That would mean just after he stopped going with Nicole. And he did a major remodel on the one-story house. I, of course, interpolated the Nicole reference. Darren Star, Frank Sinatra Jr., to complete the musical motif, has put his West Side home that he purchased only in December on the market at $3.5 million. He's been performing as a thing. The 7,200-square-foot home he bought in December has about five bedrooms plus a detached guest house. There's no German for that. They don't have detached guests in Germany. An office, a tennis court, and a pool, all in about 2 acres. He purchased the estate in 1979. Purchased the estate for $3 million and then refurbished it. He only purchased it in December. How much refurbishing can you do in, let's be generous, 2 months? That's some fast refurbishing. Well, okay. I can make no more sense, no more heads, no more tails of it than that, ladies and gentlemen. But the property is hot. I mentioned the XFL, that strange new football league that NBC is half partnered in. Now, unfortunately, I don't know what happened with the XFL game. They run these games on NBC on Saturday nights in prime time, basically on the premise that nobody was watching NBC on in prime time on Saturday night, so any viewership would be a triumph. And they've had any viewership. I mean, the first week it was a big hit, and then last week it was, it slumped. The ratings slumped. I don't know what happened last night, but last week, a week ago Saturday, not only did the ratings slump, but this happened. The executive producer of Saturday Night Live raged, roared, and demanded answers after his lead-in program, the XFL broadcast, turned into a disaster for NBC. The game ran late, severely damaging audience levels for Saturday Night Live, which was expecting its biggest rating of the year because its guest host for the night was, she's so hot, Jennifer Lopez. Associates of Lorne Michaels said he was so upset by the network's failure to protect the 11:30 p.m. starting time of his program that he considered telling the network to replace it with a rerun. Oh, man. He must have been mad. But because the show and its guest star, J-Lo, had been so heavily promoted, he decided against taking the action. The show's eventual rating was far below the previous week when a rerun had been run. So maybe he was right. Did I say that? Michaels was despondent and enraged as the XFL broadcast ran on and on. Apparently ran into the office of Dick Ebersol, head of NBC Sports, whose baby the XFL is, and they screamed at each other. Ladies and gentlemen, you want viewers for NBC on Saturday night? Put that on. Just put a camera in the office and let Lorne Michaels and Dick Ebersol, the two men who between them have produced virtually all the episodes of Saturday Night Live since it started, let those two guys just go at it. Because Dick has always been mad at Lorne for, because Dick claims he created Saturday Night Live. Lorne has always been mad at Dick for claiming that he created Saturday Night Live. They hate each other. It'd be, you know, put some mud on the floor, maybe let them roll around in the mud. I'm telling you, I am so there. Just as a viewer, you know, just good TV. Just smash mouth television. Speaking of television, just an update on the digital TV craze that we're all so wild about. And by the way, if you ever wondered about why I go on about this stuff, and just for an overview, or as the Germans say, Überview, check out this current and the next edition of a magazine called The Industry Standard. But they kind of inveigled me into writing at length on the subject of digital television, the wonderland. Now, according to Broadcasting and Cable magazine, the tax cut being proposed by George W. Bush might have a little surprise if TV equipment manufacturers have their way. Your Sonys, your Matsushitas, your Panasonics, fine people, want to see if they can get included in the tax bill, in the Bush tax cut bill, a tax credit for digital TV equipment purchases by broadcasters. That's right. The broadcasters, or the equipment manufacturers, the broadcasters are bitching because the equipment costs so much and nobody's watching digital. And so the equipment manufacturers, it's a sweetener for the broadcasters to buy more digital equipment, a tax credit. None for the poor saps who bought the first generation of digital TVs, which when the copy control software goes into effect. We've talked about that. We'll throw most of the first generation digital TVs into basically dead refrigerator status, except no kids can be trapped inside. And just to ratchet up that paranoia factor, just one little notch more at the top of the week. Millions of entries in the domain name. You know what domain names are, you know, KCRW.com, just to take an example. That's a domain name on the Internet. For years, all the domain names were issued by one company, Network Solutions. Their database is essentially the master address book for the Internet. Since the dawn of commerce on the Internet, companies that wanted their own .com addresses have had to register with Network Solutions. Now, Network Solutions is selling the database. Says its advertisement in a newsletter for direct marketers. On your mark, get set, go! Available for the first time ever, approximately 6 million unique customers, sliced and diced for you to target prospects, learn about a specific audience, or retain customers. Take this information and run with it. In addition to names, street addresses, and other routine information gathered when someone signs up for a domain name, marketers are promised info on whether sites are dormant or existful, whether they're set up for e-commerce, whether a site has security precautions installed. Network Solutions says it's been selling such data for at least a year. It's just moving more aggressively. It's just old wine and new bottles, says Doug Wolford, general manager for Web Presence. Here's a job. General manager for Web Presence. Not for getting, you know, not plural presence, singular presence. It underscores the growing pressure on Internet companies to find new sources of revenue. Many .com companies view customer databases as a tempting asset. Such strategies can be perilous given consumer concerns about privacy online. For marketing purposes, it's useful to have a complete set of data. You can get the data one web address at a time. But this is labor-intensive. So Network Solutions offers this complete database for a price and under its guidelines, which include forbidding the use of the information for email marketing. The data are typically used by companies that want to send direct postal mail to web businesses. Network Solutions take steps to ensure that only businesses, not consumers, are included in the marketing efforts. So don't get too paranoid. The only privacy being endangered is the privacy of your business.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The answer's not ours to see. Que sera, que sera, que sera. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my lover, what will we be? Will we be happy day after day? Here's what he said to me. Que sera, sera, que sera. Whatever will be, the answer's not ours to see. Que sera, que sera, que
You're listening to the show. I don't know what you're doing. It was just an assumption I made. I'm sorry. It's a bad radio habit. It may just be on in the background. You may be ignoring it. You may not even be in the room. There may not even be a you there. There's barely a me here, but what I'm going to do right now with what me there is here is read the trades for you. Really not trade, strictly speaking, but news of the trade. This is from the Wall Street Journal. That's from the money trade, I guess. Want to trade money? Finally, action figures for diehard fans of Tarantino flick. It'll be read momentarily. Nearly a decade after the ultra-violent cult hit Reservoir Dogs first bowed, they resisted the temptation to say bow wow wowed at the box office, four of the guys wearing slick suits, pencil ties, and Ray-Bans have popped up at the Toy Fair in New York City as collectible dolls. The 7-inch dolls, Mr. Pink, Mr. White, Mr. Blonde, and Mr. Brown, are aimed at hardcore fans of the bloody 1992 film, which stars Quentin Tarantino, Steve Buscemi, Harvey Keitel, and Michael Madsen. We are responding to a lifestyle, says Amaret Jones, executive vice president of worldwide marketing for Artisan Entertainment, which licensed the rights to Mezco Toys with a Z. That's right, Toys with a Z of New York. Music store operator Musicland has already ordered 30,000 of the dolls, which will retail for from $12 to $15. The dolls have 18 points of articulation, meaning movable parts, says Ms. Jones. The better to set them up in the attachable base that mimics the slow-motion stroll that opens the film. A second toy maker, Palisades, will introduce its own line of Reservoir Dogs dolls later this year. And Mezco Toys with a Z. Actually, two Z's, because there's a Z in Mezco, too. Which usually makes monster toys like Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, and Nosferatu, plans to introduce a second set of dolls later this year that recreates a gory sequence in which Mr. Blonde slices the ear off a cop he's taken hostage. The accessories being considered include a plastic knife and toy gasoline can. Serial killer dolls be far behind? Oh, of course they can. What are you talking about? That's just a silly fantasy you indulge in when I read the trades for you. Copyrighted feature. Full disclosure, by the way, there's at least one action figure of character I play on the market, too. With some body parts, but no ears.
I saw his face. There was a close-up on the screen. He spoke of faith. His teeth were straight, his nails were clean. I saw her face, all pink and bows, just like a child. I could have laughed right then. But she broke down and cried. Cause they're walking to heaven fast. on the stage, this candy floss, who always dress well to pray. Talking, they're taking, they're reaching my pain. They're offering me salvation, cause they're walking to hell and back again. And they love me, and I don't have to change. I just phone in my donation, cause they're walking to hell and back again. I've seen the pure and the perfect and a life of denial. I've seen old men dripping jewels with young girls on the side. We've got a satellite for sinners and there's love I can buy. We're all hoping that we're special. We're all trying not to die. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush made his first trip outside the borders of the United States this week, paying a visit to his old friend, the new president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, a visit that was overshadowed by the renewed bombing of Iraq on Friday, meaning that we got to see some more fine Iraqi television. And meanwhile, the Bush tax cut, which enjoyed a good first week, got a little wobbly in its second week of public existence when a couple of so-called moderate Republican senators announced that they were not going to support it. And a group of billionaires headed by Bill Gates announced their opposition to Bush's plan to get rid of the estate tax, saying that if you got rid of the estate tax, it would hurt charities that get so many bequests by people trying to avoid the estate tax. We hear, by the way, Bush is back on his ranch. George W. Bush is back on his ranch in Texas, back across the border where it's safe, that there's a series of phone conversations he's been having, consulting with his dad, the former president, the 41st president. They call each other, apparently, according to news reports, 41 and 43.
Hello. Hey, 41? This is 43 calling from the ranch. Well, son, so proud of you for calling. Well, I had a little space on my schedule between working out and my nap.
No, sir, Mr. President. Proud of you for taking on that little project in Iraq.
Well, sir, 41, I just thought I owed it to you. Get that damn monkey off your back once and for all would be the least I could do.
Well, all due respect, take a little more than this to get him off our backs.
Well, sir, we got more than one arrow to quiver, as you well know.
Yeah.
Probably should have waited a day to do it, though.
Was a little harsh to whack him on the Muslim Sabbath.
Since when do the Muslims have a Sabbath? No, I mean, my friend Vicente Fox felt it like as if our little meeting was overshadowed by the action, you know,
yeah.
Upstaged, deprived of its dignity. It's my first foreign trip.
Oh, well, I think you'll have a lot more of them.
Of course I will. And most of them will take me out of the country. But I think more than just old Saddam got the message.
Well, sure, the Allies, the Russians.
Yeah, and the people of America. For the first time in 8 years, They don't have to wonder if their president is bombing something just for a distraction.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're one president who's hurt by distraction, not help.
I'm distracted enough, for God's sake.
Yeah, but now listen here, 43. Got a little worried this week when I saw that senator from Vermont fall off the tax cut wagon there.
Yeah.
You made a promise about taxes. When a President Bush does that, he's got to keep his word.
Well, I know that.
You know, otherwise, people start to think there's some kind of genetic defect in this family.
Yeah, which is chemically absurd.
So I'm sure your congressional liaison people are on this thing.
They're on it like dew on the daisy.
Because this tax thing can stick to you, as you know.
No, I know it.
I mean, our base will forgive a lot, but on the subject of taxes, our base just is not very forgiving.
Hey, 41, I was there. I saw it. We will stay the course. We will win the battle.
That's from your Iraq statement.
Well, maybe, but that's probably why it came back to me. But it's true. We're going to get some Democrat votes. We're going to keep enough Republicans home. Dick Cheney's not going to go out of town.
Yeah.
You know, what I didn't need was those damn billionaires coming out against the repeal of the estate tax. I mean, that stung just a little bit.
You see, I thought your people arranged that.
What?
You got a tax program the opposition says favors the rich. Then the rich come out against your tax program. That's the kind of gift that you never have to pay taxes on.
Yeah, maybe so. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can get them to come out against the bombing while they're at it.
Not the same, but, you know, what the hell.
41, I was kidding.
Well, now be careful with that sense of humor stuff, 43. Look where it got Bob Dole. He's a Pepsi salesman now, for God's sake.
Well, sir, I sure appreciate this chat. They're telling me I don't want to be late for my nap now, so.
All right, just don't let old cold feet towel keep you from bombing again if you need to.
Condi Rice is a tower of strength. You know, she just tells him to shut up, bitch, and he just pipes right down.
Boy, it is a different era. All right, I'll tell Barr you said hi.
You take care of 41.
You too, 43.
People see me, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so. I love you, baby, like a minor love gold. So come on, baby, let the good time roll. They keep a lot of data up their sleeve. My love for you in the kind of fold. So come on, baby, let the good time roll. Understood. It's even nicer when you're feeling good.
You got me flipping like a flag on a pole. So come on, baby, let the good time roll.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of the many, many, many reasons I'm glad not to be on the radio every day, well, think about it. You can think of millions of them yourself, is that one doesn't therefore have to respond to every headline, no matter how non-rooted in fact it may be. So, hence the relief that I didn't jump on the bandwagon and start hooting at the stories about stuff getting stolen from Air Force One on Bill Clinton's last trip aboard the plane, which George W. Bush this week, having taken the time to investigate it, I guess, or just taking the time, this week George W. Bush announced those stories weren't true. Ari Fleischer, according to today's Washington Post, he's George W. Bush's spokeswoman, and other GOP aides in Bush's first week in office helped launch a report about pranks played largely by staff members for Al Gore, the people who removed the W key from computers, permanently damaging equipment in some cases, made it into a major news story. The press secretary at the time said White House officials were so concerned about apparent vandalism by Clinton aides, including reports of cut wires, that a formal cataloging of the damage was underway. You heard about this. All the talk shows talked about this. Just one day later, Fleischer said the cataloging was merely a single aide keeping a mental list. The administration has offered no concrete evidence of cut phone cords or similar vandalism by departing Clinton aides. Mark Lindsay, who headed the office administration in the outgoing White House, said career government officials told him the only phone lines, no more than a few, cut at the White House were done so by GSA workers in the course of rapid office renovations over that weekend. So, but anyway, here's Bill Clinton still defending himself, against Watermelon Dan Burton, who's going to have more hearings. And speaking of Dan's, Dan Rather's boss and all the other network news heads were hauled before a congressional committee themselves this week to explain the debacle of election night and what, if anything, they plan to do about improving their performance in the future. Most of them said, better exit polls. Better exit polls. Yes, it sounds like a really bad day at Black Rock next here on the show.
Good evening, Mr. Rather. Is it just one tonight?
Yes, Nguyen, I'm working late tonight. Oh. Gotten custom promos, thanking all the stations that carry evening news after 6 p.m.
That's a lot of stations, aren't they?
When you're looking at the coverage chart, my friend, not nearly enough. Oh. When you're cutting 30-second promos for each of them. There's too damn many.
Or cat or a no hat, right?
Nguyen, you keep that up. You're going to be an honorary Texan before they sell cowboy boots at Barney's. So, yes, sir, it's just one. Mm-hmm. What's a special tonight?
Crisp swordfish brains with hot and spicy greens.
Well, you had me right up through the brains. Although, my friend, word to the wise, anywhere you can find brains that aren't soft and mushy these days, book it. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. So, the usual.
You are righter than rain in Brazos County.
Thank you, sir. I'll bring your beverage right away.
Thank you. So, how does it feel, Daniel, to know that everyone in this restaurant is looking at you, thinking, there's one of those bozos who got it wrong on election night. To know that no matter how gray they've let you go, the respected authority boat has sailed and your name isn't on the manifest.
Daniel.
Brother Brokaw.
I'm going to ask a question everybody in this restaurant wants to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Are you having the brains?
Thomas, folks down Texas way, we have a rule about what part of any animal we'll eat. If it don't think and it don't stink, it's mine. How you doing?
Number one, if that's what you mean. But, you know, it's layoff time at the corporation. That's always sad.
You know something, Hoss?
Hmm?
If I felt that giving up part of my $7 million would help keep an assistant producer's wife and young child from going hungry tonight, I'd do it in a Galveston second. But
what?
So, you dining alone, sir? Please.
Oh, no. I'm having dinner with a half a dozen advertisers who are buying time in the fourth quarter. Ooh. That woman over there at the end of the table?
Mm-hmm.
She's the depend buyer. This is the part of being managing editor on a nightly network newscast the public never appreciates.
Thomas, that's a dead cow certainty.
Yeah.
So, your fearless leader in mind did a pretty good job of letting Congress kick him hard over election night. Hmm?
It's always refreshing to see tough guys play humble. It's like bullies in the principal's office.
Like what, sir, please?
Bullies.
Bullies, yes, sir. Well, I'll just think along with our Chinese friends. Be careful what you wish for.
Uh-huh.
We're so embarrassed by the whooping we gave ourselves last November, we're pushing for uniform poll closing times across the country.
Uh-huh.
Now, we get that. It may just mean election night coverage won't start until after Paul Schaefer changes back into his non-shiny clothes.
Because California's got the clout to make everybody else's polls close late.
I'm sure I agree with whatever that was you just uttered, Thomas, but look at here, you... Boss, you better not keep your advertisers waiting. Fourth quarter's going to be goat scrotum soft anyway.
Yeah. Have a good meal, Daniel.
If eating with advertisers is the price of being number one, I'll take number two any old day of the...
Yeah, here's your super, Mr. Rudder. There's a gentleman here who wants to buy you a drink.
No, I said I thought he'd want to buy me a drink. Hello, Dan.
Mr. President.
Oh, you can call me Mr. Ex-President.
Well, all right, then. Whatever he and his protective unit are having goes on the network's tab.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dan.
So, sir, this is a bigger pleasure than a live birth in the panda cage.
Dan, same here.
Well,
you know, if I'd have known it was going to be this easy to run into you here in town, I'd never have given my first TV interview of the pardon era to Geraldo Rivera.
Well, sir, welcome to New York.
Thank you.
Although this is a good few dozen blocks south of your new offices, you didn't want to dine in Harlem?
I'll be eating enough of that stuff once we move in. Plenty of time to get my arterial walls blocked then. But, you know, Dan, I do love it up there.
Well, sir, judging by the footage of the crowds, they love you up there.
They love you too, man. They don't express it so openly, but...
So, Mr. President, let me, if I may, toss you one that's... Not from the softball rack. If you always wanted to be in Harlem, sir, why was it that your first choice of office space was smack in the middle of Midtown?
Well, now, Dan, if I'd known I was in for a grilling, I would have found out where Geraldo was having dinner. Seriously, man, you know that the General Services Administration...
The GSA.
You got it. Mm-hmm. They got a process they go through when you say you want to locate former presidential offices in a certain area. They produce a list of spaces which are acceptable from a security point of view, and you go from there. And it's all a normal process. And you know, Dan, that except one of those very rare cases of last-minute pardons, I've always been a believer in going through the normal process.
Mm-hmm. I suppose so, sir.
So let me ask you a question.
No, I'm not having the brains.
Well, that's a relief, but that wasn't my question.
Sorry, please.
Look, what are you guys going to do to make sure that we don't get another election stolen from us? I mean, if you want to get those exit polls tweaked back to something resembling accuracy, my polling guys are the best, as you know.
Well, sir, I'm sure our people are, if not the best, then at least among the very next best. So I'm certain as Fire Ants in July that our reporting come next election night is going to be core, rock solid, and cornerback dependable.
And that's Brokaw over there, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I believe he's donning
with... Man, this is why I moved to New York. You know, down in D.C., if I wanted to meet somebody famous, I had to invite him over.
Well, I will say this, sir, please. All due respect to what they do over there at his shop.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to fly first class with your defense of the pardon or anything else that might be in need of defending... Our audience just... It does skew a little smarter than his. I mean, straight as a banker's gaze... Nightly's audience is mainly people who watch the news because it's what's on before the XFL game.
Well, look, in terms of my next interview, since CNN took Jesse's show away from him, I'd say your chances are pretty darn good. Great seeing you, Dan.
Mr. President, my offer extends to Senator Clinton as well.
Uh-huh.
We'd love to sit down with her and do a full-on 10-speed chat.
Great. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Tom,
How are you, man?
Mr. President, you know Arlene Foxman from Japan.
I don't know. Maybe I should have had the brains.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes. That's just really going to put the old chapeau on this edition of Le Show. The program will return next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, over the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ, the planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it at www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like having more privacy in L.A. while moving to New York, if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail@interworld. That's, well, I'll spell it for you. lemail@interworld.net. Happy Barkas Parade. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.